theology books. There's a lot of books written about heaven, or people that have, or people that say they've been to heaven for a few minutes, or a few seconds, or whatnot. But there's really not a lot of good theology books written about heaven. And in the good theology, there seems to be a lacking in the topic. Anyone else?
Just sheer preoccupation.
The other one was, we are busy, and I think we get busy and not thinking about heaven. I have an extra one, so you can have it, because you tried. We don't teach about it. So it kind of goes in with the theological neglect of it, is there's not a lot written about it. We don't study it that much, and so therefore it comes down, we don't spend that much time teaching about it. And I don't know that I ever spent a full sermon on the topic of heaven. Don't know that I ever did a full Bible study on the topic of heaven. Talk about heaven kind of as a side note, as we share the gospel and as we do different things, but it wasn't something that we spent a lot of time focusing on. So we don't really teach about it. There's not a lot written about it in theology books, and we have a misconception of heaven, an unbiblical view of heaven, because of the worldly views that are out there, and the cartoons and the jokes and stuff like that about heaven often give us the impression that heaven is just a boring place, and if we're going to go hang out in this boring place, why should we think about it that much? So we are going to get rid of those misconceptions is the goal for today and the next couple of months. So let us start with a word of prayer, and we'll get into that timeline that I was going to do last week and didn't get to. Father, thank you again that we can be here this morning. Thank you for each one that is here. And as we go through this timeline of biblical history and biblical future, Father, I pray that you'll just challenge us again and give us clear thinking, clear up any misconceptions that we may have, and just help us to be excited about what you have for us in the future. Just again, thank you for the time that we can spend together now. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, this morning I want to take us on a long journey. We'll be done in about 40 minutes. We are going to cover biblical history. We're going to start from creation and go all the way through to what we know of the future. And so I'm going to try and cram all of that in. There are classes. We could spend a whole other 3-4 month Bible or Sunday school on just biblical history, and Jeff's been taking us through more of the biblical history kind of from when church history, and so there's just so much history, there's so much going on and that's going to happen in the future. We can study and study and study. My focus is on heaven, and when we think about heaven, it's where people go. People, we know that they either go to heaven or hell, whether they're believers or not. And so that's kind of our focus here is heaven. So I'm not going to, as you look through my little bit of my timeline that I put up here, we're not going to spend a lot of time or in great detail about what is happening in each of these events here on earth, because our focus is heaven. And so we're going to kind of go through this little journey here and look at what happens basically to the souls and how it happens to people when they die in different time periods, because different there's differences there, and it's exciting and it's interesting. I've had a lot of fun. I drew this timeline out 2 or 3 times now to try and make sure that I'm timing it just right and all of my points are in the right spot. And so we start off with creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But before we even go there, would someone read Hebrews chapter 10 for me? The first 10 verses. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage, but this passage is just an important, important passage when we look at the first 10. So these are important verses, and we'll make reference in and out to them as we go through this. But as we look at salvation, and that's really what we're talking about today, is where do people spend eternity and why? And so I want us to just have these verses in mind as we go through this timeline here. So Hebrews chapter 10, 1 through 10.
For the law had a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of things that were to be. those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purged, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. And I said, behold, I have come, and the rolling of the book it is written of me. Do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice an offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
All right. So we have a great passage here on salvation. What it is encompassing here is, and why I picked this passage is because we're dealing with some Old Testament stuff in the dealings with sacrifices of bulls and goats, and then we look at Christ as our priest and the offering that he made in verse 10 there, that the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And those will be important thoughts as we go through this timeline here. So we're going to start at creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven is plural because when we look at the heavens, what are the three heavens that we generally make reference to? There's three that really are the that come out when we the word is plural.
The sky, the universe, and
heaven. So we have the atmosphere that's around us, the clouds and the blue sky and all of that. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is outer space. Planets and sun and moon and all of that stuff are in those. And then the third heaven is God's dwelling place. So those are the three heavens. So when Paul talks about being caught up into the third heaven, he's being caught up into God's dwelling place. So we have creation on earth. So we're right here. God created the heavens and the earth. On earth, we have Adam and Eve in a garden, and we have two trees that were planted in this garden. I should be having more chocolate to hand out. Two trees that were planted in the garden. The tree of knowledge and the tree of life. Adam and Eve were told that they could eat from the tree of life, but they could not eat from the tree of knowledge. And we know that at one point, we don't know exactly what point in creation. I don't believe it was very long. But at one point, they were deceived and ate from the tree of knowledge, and sin entered the earth. So we have sin. At creation, I forgot, we have heaven. So heaven was created. God's dwelling place, but yet with the garden, we know that God would come and dwell with man in the garden as well. We know that they would spend time. God came to Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening on the day that they sinned. He was looking for them. They were hiding. They made for themselves fig leaves to kind of cover their nakedness because they were aware of that. We know in the garden before sin entered that there was work to be done. Adam was put in charge of the garden. He was to take care of it. And as they sinned and sin entered the world, death entered along with sin because in Romans 6:23, not quite, but it's one that's on my list, 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We have sin entering, and with sin, death. And death that we are talking about there is the death that is the eternal separation from God, not the physical death. And even though yet at that moment their bodies began to die, and they began experiencing physical death, they didn't have that immediate death that we think about when our body physically dies. But they had the spiritual death, the separation from God. And And so with that, I again don't know 100% when hell was created. Was it how it fits into the timeline of when it started? Because did the angels and Satan fall, or Satan and the angels fall after creation of earth or before? Is there any biblical evidence one way or another?
I think that there's positions on both sides, because the evidence we have is
next to nothing.
Yeah.
So did God create hell with the foreknowledge that Satan and the angels would fall, or did he wait until they fell? And when exactly they fell, we don't know. So somewhere in here, God creates hell. Hell is also referred to as Hades. And with this is not the eternal lake of fire. So just remember that there is a difference. When we are referring to hell or Hades, we are not yet referring to the eternal lake of fire. We'll get to that as we get to the end of our timeline here. So because we have sinned, Adam and Eve sinned and brought sin to the earth, and all of mankind with imputed sin will have sin in them. The punishment for sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. And that is eventually, in the lake of fire. Until the lake of fire, there is the holding place for those souls that do not believe in hell. We have a problem. I'm not 100%. Craig may be a little more on.
I don't. You're talking about hell or Hades?
I'm talking about this first.
I don't know that I could answer.
I'm not sure where that fits in with. I just don't know what they're.
Well, isn't the purgatory, that's their, they feel they can pray them out of purgatory, where this, once you're in hell or Hades, there's no coming out. It's just waiting for the final judgment?
Yes. Okay. We're just waiting there. The souls that are in hell or Hades, because again, hell or Hades is the same place. It is still a place of torment, but it's a holding place for the judgment, the eternal lake of fire. So, what's that? I don't know what for purgatory. I know the Catholics believe with purgatory that you can eventually work your way out of it.
You cannot.
Once you are appointed once to death and then judgment. So there is no. We have this life to make that decision. Once we leave this life, we are going one of two places, and there's no getting out of them. Either or. Once you're there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the idea of purgatory isn't biblical. In fact, what the word purgatory means is to purge of sin. And right in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins." So Jesus cleansed our sins. There's nothing that can take place after that to purge for. Yeah.
Hebrews 9:12. If someone would read Hebrews 9:12.
"Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption."
Okay, that wasn't the verse. It's a verse. I was just trying to find my Hebrews verse that it says we're appointed once to die and then judgment. Well, it's in my notes here somewhere. We'll eventually come across that verse. So at this point, we know that before sin in the garden there was no death. So if Adam and Eve would never have sinned, they would have carried on on the earth.
27 and 28 in chapter 9. "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, for Christ will talk to us, bear the sins of men, for those who have waited for him. He will appear a second time apart from the sins of salvation.
So there, it's
9:27.
And I knew that I would have it in my notes here eventually, because I was looking at those verses yesterday as well. But so the thought with purgatory is it's an unbiblical view. It is not taught in the Bible at all, and I don't know where they come up with that, or the backing that they have for purgatory. So once you're in heaven or hell, you're there. There's no escaping, which is good for those that go to heaven, and not good for those that that go to hell. So there was no death in creation, so there would be no going either direction, heaven or hell. It would have been that perfect garden and the fellowship there with God. We don't know for sure what would have happened over the course of time, because sin entered, and along with sin, death. And so here's the problem: is we have Adam and Eve, we have Abel, we have Abraham, Moses, we had Noah, we have the prophets, we have Daniel and David, and those are just a couple of names that we can quickly throw out there. There are a lot of people that believe in God during this time. And if death separates us, so let's get back to the gospel, though. What is the gospel? The good news? What is the... Share the good news with me.
The good news is that Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for your sins. Eternal salvation.
And salvation is by faith through grace alone. We don't work for it. There's nothing that one can do to earn it. And it's belief in Christ. And so we don't have that till like here in our timeline. So now we have Adam through Christ's resurrection, or Christ's death on the cross. We know that sin cannot enter into the dwelling place of God, so we cannot have evil in his dwelling place. Let's go back here a second and look at someone, if you would read Psalm 5, 4 and 5. Four, Psalm 4, or 5. So it says that evil cannot dwell, or wickedness cannot dwell with God. God sees all people without Christ as unrighteous, as wicked. And so here we have this group of people, and we read in Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats cannot forgive sin. So during this time, there's a sacrifice that's established to cover sins. God sacrificed an animal to clothe Adam and Eve. Abel was going into the field with Cain. They took their sacrifices before God. Abel was sacrificing an animal. Eventually, through Moses and Aaron, there's an establishment of a sacrificial system with the priests offering those sacrifices once a year. But the blood of bulls and goats cannot forgive sin. So we still have this group of people that don't have the blood of Christ yet. So there's still that sin hasn't been totally taken away yet. What happens to them?
Because of their faith, the righteousness was imputed by God. So he looked upon them as righteous.
But we still don't have Christ's blood sacrificed yet. Anyway.
But
Abraham believed that it was credited as righteousness.
Yes.
His faith.
And so he was, it wasn't based on his works. It was still his faith, but his sins hadn't been cleansed.
Right.
They're still, they've been covered through the sacrificial system, but they haven't been cleansed.
That's all there was then. They had to do that.
Okay, I'll
Christ's blood.
The coming of the true sacrifice.
And they were looking forward to that. They were looking forward to the cross.
Their faith was in that.
Their faith was in that, but it's still, the blood still hasn't
cleansed them of their sin.
The blood still hasn't been shed.
But Christ's blood shed still took care of all past sins.
It did. But it hasn't been shed yet. So here, let me show you here. At some point, right in here, there is a place called Paradise. Or Abraham's bosom. Okay, so again, I don't know exactly when God created this holding spot, but again, because Christ's blood has not been shed yet, they still believe, and it's not based on works. We've already mentioned that salvation is not by works. Even for Abraham and all of those, it's very clear, and we'll see it more and more as Pastor Craig goes through the book of Romans, that salvation was not by works. It was still by faith, but they still needed Christ's blood shed for their sin as well. And we know that when Christ's blood was shed, it was good enough to cover their sin as well, but it had not been shed yet. And so in Luke chapter 16, we have Jesus telling about the rich man and Lazarus. And when the rich man and Lazarus died, the rich man went to Hades. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. And we see a conversation that takes place in there. The rich man was tormented and desired for just a drop of water to be placed upon his tongue. He was looking for some kind of relief, but there was a great chasm between them. And we could read the passage, but I can tell that we are hurrying through this.
Is Paradise or Abraham's bosom talked about in the Old Testament?
It is not. There's really not. There's about... Shalom. And it's the grave, but as it talks about that, it's not really, is it Hades or is it Abraham's bosom? Because you see that it's in reference to, it's not always in reference to one or the other. It's talking about the grave, really. And I think in some places you can see it as someone who believes, they still go to the grave. But there's not really a lot about it. So, this here is based on a few verses. We know in Luke chapter 16 there's a fairly extensive passage there, 9 or 10 verses that talk about this Abraham's bosom, and we know that Jesus said that as he was teaching that he was going to spend 3 days, as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the sea monster, he was going to spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So he talks about that. There's reference there. It makes reference to Christ descending before he ascended to heaven. So where did he descend to? And so in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about Christ when he died and ascended, he led led captive a host of captives. So here's from what we can gather based on a few verses. When it comes to this, there's not a lot of verses for this. And so I'm sure someone could argue, and this isn't necessarily something that I'm going to stand on a hill and die for. There are some that I would stand on a hill and die for. If somebody has a better explanation or a different one that still matches with biblical perspective, I'm willing to listen and take a look at it. But the best that I can determine from the verses that we have, we know that right here, Christ died. So when sin entered the world, everyone from Adam through the resurrection that did not have faith they didn't have the word Christ yet. They were looking forward to that. From Genesis chapter 3, we already have the first prophecies of Christ, where it talks about Eve having a child that would strike Satan's head. So we already begin to have, from Genesis chapter 3, prophecy about Christ. And it builds as we go through the Old Testament. And so they had something to have faith in. So if they did not have faith, they end up in Hades. So the red is unbelievers. If they did have faith, those that had faith ended up in paradise.
That other thing was in Ephesians, what?
Ephesians 4 verse 8, I believe, is the where Christ led host a captive as he ascended.
Okay, I'll read
4:8.
So paradise.
That's right where we're at right now. Paradise is no more. So as Christ died, he talks about spending 3 days in the heart of the earth, as did Jonah spend 3 days. So that Jonah's 3 days in the belly of the sea monster was a prophecy of Christ and his death and spending 3 days in the heart of the earth. So when Christ died, he went to paradise. What did he say to the thief on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise. So Christ, at his death, descended to paradise. And then remember what he said to Martha in the garden? Do not touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. So he hadn't gone to heaven yet. So in Ephesians, where it says that he led a host of captives, Christ took paradise with him to heaven. Clear as mud?
Except one thing's not clear to me. and it's probably too late to bring it up, and maybe it's something you can, or you may already have planned. But when the earth shook, and the graves opened up, and I can't remember what gospel it is, but the men came from the grave, or saints, I can't remember. Who were they?
I believe that they would have been some of those that were already in Abraham's.
Like Abraham, those already who had faith.
Yes, it wasn't
Moses,
all of them. It wasn't all of them. It would have been some from maybe had died recently. I don't think it was prophets or anybody that rose from the grave. I think it would have been people that had recently died, whether it was days or months, in that area, rose from the grave. I don't believe that there was like a huge mass of people, and it definitely was not all of those in paradise that rose from the grave, because that would have been millions and possibly billions of people that would have come out of the grave.
Why would some come out of the grave and some not?
I don't know. Remember what I said last week?
That's
was
a hard
one of the answers that I will give you on a regular basis is I don't know. I don't know why God, you know, why did he choose some from that time to be raised as a testimony to his resurrection and that and his power, and he raised Lazarus. Why did Elijah and Enoch not die at all, and he grabbed them and took them and they didn't experience death? You know, what the purpose is, I don't know. I'm not 100%. I don't even really have a good guess.
And why do you suppose Jesus said that, do not touch me, I haven't gotten my...
He hasn't ascended to the Father yet? I don't know if it's because he hadn't...
Don't cling to him.
Yeah.
She was looking at a physical clinging.
She was wanting him to stay right then and don't get attached. She still had some business to take care of before he was going to be there. And had he had his glorified body yet, I don't know what all the details were there exactly. Excuse me. So, Christ's resurrection, he descends into paradise, gathers up the souls that are in paradise, and ascends to heaven and takes all of them with him. That's why there's an end there. This is no longer paradise, because now Christ's blood has been shed. Their sins have been cleansed, not just atoned or not just covered, but now their sins have been cleansed, and now they are able to be in the dwelling place with God because of Christ's blood. So,
was Abraham in heaven at this time? Or
no, Abraham would have been here in Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, Daniel, the prophets. They all would have been down here because they still hadn't yet had the shedding of Christ's blood to cleanse them of their sin.
But but he only took part of them to heaven with him.
He took 99.9% of them. There was a handful of people that came out of the grave at the resurrection or at the...
Well, that's the other one.
Yeah, so there was like maybe 0.1%. I bet it's even less than that. But I don't know. That will be a great question for you to discuss with God in eternity.
And that point when you said came out of the grave.
Just a small... Yes, right at... And I think it was probably right there in the Jerusalem area.
But paradise is empty now.
Yes, he took paradise with him.
So for immediately with the in heaven when we pass on those who
yeah. Believe. And that's where we're going now. So now, if you remember from our dispensations class, we are in the church age. We now, from the day of Pentecost on, we are living in the dispensation of the church. And now when people die during this time, if they do not believe, they still... Same outcome. But now, instead of going to a holding place, believers will go directly to heaven. We still, at this point, are without... I believe we are without bodies. I don't believe that the soul is reunited with the body until the end of the church age, with the rapture. So, how the soul looks in heaven, I don't know. What's that? So,
in a good old country gospel, we'll understand it better by and by.
By and by.
Okay. So, now the neat thing that happens at the end of the church age is what is a little bit different here. Not everyone at the end of the church age will die a physical death. We know that Christ, represented with the cross, is going to come down to the clouds, and then he is going to gather up the believers at the end of this time, and he is going to take them with him. So at the very end of the church age, any believer that is alive when Christ comes to take them will be raptured. We know in Thessalonians it talks about the dead will rise first, so that's where their bodies will come out of the grave, and then we'll be caught up with them, and we will meet Christ in the clouds, the trumpet blast, and then we will go to heaven.
In a half a wink.
How bad are things going to get here on earth before the rapture?
Before the rapture? I have no idea. Paul thought that the rapture was going to happen in his lifetime, so...
But I mean, are they going to be almost unbearable?
They're almost unbearable now.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Worse.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse. This rapture, there is nothing left in history to happen at this point. We refer to it as imminent. The rapture could happen this afternoon. We pray that it does.
How about the peace agreements in Israel? We have to have those first.
There is nothing left to happen. There will be some false peace agreements and that will happen in the tribulation, but there is nothing left in biblical prophecy.
Well, that'll happen in the tribulation.
It could start happening now. We don't know, but there doesn't have to be a peace treaty with Israel before we're raptured. They have their land, and so we just pray that he doesn't tarry very much longer.
The temple needs to be rebuilt, but they are in the process.
They have all sorts of stuff ready to... But again, it doesn't have to be rebuilt. They will rebuild it, and so there is nothing. Christ could come for us right now.
So the temple isn't rebuilt until possibly till the tribulation sometime.
Possibly. They could. They're already in the process of rebuilding it. There's lots of stories about the stuff that they have buried underground. The high priest garments, they've already got a line of the red calf so that they have the perfect red bull that they can have for sacrifices and stuff. So they are preparing for the day that they are able to take back the mount, the temple mount, and begin rebuilding their temple. But that doesn't have to happen for Christ to return. We got to go. So people entered into this time with all mankind goes through there. All mankind that is alive enters into the church age. When Christ raptures his church, he is going to remove all believers from the face of the earth,
And so we know that going into the tribulation are only unbelievers that are alive. So God is going to, Christ is going to remove the church with His Holy Spirit, and we are indwelt with His Holy Spirit. So as believers, we are going to be taken as a church, and we are going to be raptured. Only unbelievers will enter into the tribulation, but there will be believers in the tribulation. There will be those that believe. Believers that die in the tribulation go to heaven.
They started out at the beginning of tribulation as unbelievers.
They started off as unbelievers.
So they will become believers.
They will be, yes.
And then it's, then of course, the 12 tribes who will be the witnesses.
Yes, and there's, Pastor Craig did a whole class on Revelation and all that stuff. I'm not going to get into the details of what's going on, especially I've only got 4 minutes. Okay, so anybody that dies during the tribulation period, same results. The their souls will also go to hell. At the end of the tribulation, the great battle, all of that, we know that God is going to sift out, remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? God is going to sift out believers from unbelievers again. This time, only believers will enter into the millennial kingdom. So only those who have faith at that time will enter in. All unbelievers that are alive will then also go to hell. So at the end of the tribulation, all unbelievers will be separated out. All believers will be separated into the millennial kingdom.
What is that? Do the people from heaven come down to the millennial
kingdom? Okay, here we go. So what happens at the end of the tribulation, what ushers in the millennial kingdom, I keep standing in front of this now, okay, is Christ is going to return at this point, and He is going to come and set up His throne on earth. He's going to establish His throne and begin His thousand-year reign on earth physically. There are some things that will happen on earth at that time. It looks like part of the curse on the earth will be removed. He talks about the lion and the lamb laying together, the children playing at the serpent's den. You know, there's things. A child will die at 100 years old. So, there's a lot of things that happen during this millennial kingdom. Again, we can't get into all the details of that. That's not what we're here for today. But the millennial kingdom is going to look a lot like the Garden of Eden, or have some very, very close similarities. The biggest difference is there will still be sin. Satan, I don't have a good color for Satan. Satan here is bound in a bottomless pit. So Satan is taken and put into a bottomless pit, and he is bound for that whole thousand-year time period. There will still be death in the millennial kingdom. We know that because it talks about a person that dies at 100 years old will still be considered a child. If they do not believe, they will spend their time in hell.
There's
only believers that enter into the millennial kingdom. They will have children. So they will have children. So there is the potential for, well, we know that there'll be unbelievers in the millennial kingdom because Satan, when he is released, we'll get to that, he's going to, so then anybody who dies that believes goes to heaven. And then at the end of the millennial kingdom, we have another great battle. Satan is loosed from his chains. He gathers together an army for himself from the four corners of the earth, and he will rise and march against Christ. And so there will be a great battle at the end. We know that it's massive. Christ is going to just in one fell swoop destroy them. And so there's death as well that's going to happen there. Everybody who marches against Christ at the end of the millennial kingdom, they too will also enter into Hades. All believers that die during this time will enter into the millennial kingdom. Okay. 2 minutes. At the end of the millennial kingdom, we have the great white throne judgment. That is God's throne. That is a stately throne. So we have a throne. It talks about in Revelation how heaven and earth will flee from this. So are they destroyed yet or what happens? I don't know exactly at this time. But we know that there is a great separation. This is the judgment seat of God, the great white throne judgment. This is not a judgment seat of believers. At the end of the church age, and we'll talk more about this when we're studying heaven, at right here, there's a judgment for believers. Not a judgment of they're saved or not saved. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ. And when all of the church is gathered together in heaven, at this point here, we will have the marriage feast of the Lamb. There will be a judgment there for believers, and it is your works. It is our works that are judged at the Bema Seat. 1 Corinthians, it talks about our works being like wood, straw, hay, gold, silver, precious metals, or precious stones. And it's going to be consumed with fire, and we're going to sift through that. Any good work that was good for God, brought glory to God, is gold, silver, precious stones, and we will be saved yet as so through fire. So, this is not a judgment of belief or unbelief. It is simply a judgment of works at the Bema Seat, and we will be judged for our works. It has nothing to do with our salvation.
And what does that get you?
Rewards.
It gets you rewards, it gets you a crown, and that crown we're going to talk about later, you are going to give it back, and you are going to glorify God by giving it and casting it back to Him. We'll deal with that when we get to heaven. So we're
casting crowns.
So we will deal with all of that. This judgment here is, okay, so Satan is released. He is battled. Here is there's a little fire. There's the eternal lake of fire. I'm down to just drawing pictures. So Satan is released. At the end, he is defeated, and Satan is the first one to be cast over into the eternal lake of fire. All of hell at that time is gathered up to the judgment seat of the great white throne judgment. The earth will give up. So this is where the bodies of unbelievers are then going to be gathered to their souls, because it talks in Revelation there, it talks about the sea giving up the dead and the land giving up the dead. So their bodies are then going to be gathered here at the judgment seat, and they again are judged not for salvation, but judged for their works. It is a works judgment. Their judgment for salvation happened the moment they died, and they chose not to believe. Same with believers. Our judgment for whether or not we have eternity in heaven is based on what we believe while we are here. I just about said what we do here. That's not the case at all. Stone me. It is based on our belief. There are two books that are opened up here. The book of
life,
and then a book of works. If their name is not found in the book of life, which it is not, because only the unbelievers that were in hell at this time are at this seat, their works are going to be judged by the second book. God is going to open up the second book, and their works are there, and they will be judged on their works, and then cast into the eternal lake of fire.
So if they did a lot of good work.
It appears that there could be degrees of judgment and degrees of hell. Degrees of torment.
The lake's cooler at the top.
Next week, Lord willing, we are going to spend our whole class on hell. The eternal lake of fire and hell. We're going to discuss it. The reality of it, it is absolutely a true place. It is there. The Bible makes it very clear.
I have one question.
I still got it.
Those of us that are sitting in this room, though, can stop right there.
Okay.
Where you have the church, and not, hopefully, none of us have to worry about anything that's going on.
As long as you have believed in Christ as your Savior, you're good. Okay. Yes. Because after this happens, I believe this is all going to happen like instantaneous. It's going to be a really fast event. Because then, this heaven and this earth will be destroyed. We'll talk about that as to whether it's a full-fledged destruction, annihilation, or whether it's a resurrection like we will have. Anyway, we'll talk about that. And then, we will enter into new heaven, new earth. And is it all one place? We see in Revelation that the city of Jerusalem coming out of heaven and resting on earth. The city is different than what the city of Jerusalem looks like now. We know that Christ will reign on earth. We know that Israel is promised a land forever and a king forever, and that is Christ. We know that we are part of Christ's body. There are all kinds of questions and things that we're going to discuss and hammer out. But that is biblical history in a nutshell. It only took me 50 minutes.
Now, all the people from heaven are going to come down to the millennial kingdom, right?
No, only church people. And I don't know if it's every church person, It says that we will reign with him, but that's about the extent of the explanation. So is it all of the church will reign with him? What's that?
He will return
with his saints. And it's just not clear as, again, what's that?
That would be all the faithful.
Yes. I don't know how many or who or what. I won't argue if it's everybody or whether it's some. You know, here, when he raised up paradise, a handful got to go live on earth again. There was a portion of them that got to go. So here, is it a portion? Is it all? Is it... some will come. All might come.
They have things to do up there, so... Get ready for the big feast.
I got one question. In Daniel, it talks about the good angels fighting the bad angels, or bad... Yeah. Whereabouts is that at?
That is going on now in a spiritual realm.
In the spiritual realm. Is it
outer space? I think it's out of heaven and not on earth.
Maybe it's a different reality.
Anyway, I'm already got you 5 minutes late.
Can we start early next week?
So, anyway, that gets us through. If you have questions, write them down and save them for next week. We are next week, Lord willing, we are going to deal with the eternal lake of fire and hell and Hades, and try and discuss that. But I wanted today to kind of present the gospel through this timeline. And just kind of have you all in the right mind frame of what we are studying. We are studying heaven, and we will get there, I promise, a couple more weeks. All right, let's pray.
We should start at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock next week. Father, we thank you for giving us enough information to know a few things about what will happen in the future. Help us to be excited about it as we look at heaven, and the reality that we will one day spend eternity with you. Help us to just be excited about that. And we thank you again. Just guide and direct in our time and the fellowship that we have now with believers. And we look forward to that fellowship. Just guide and direct now, we pray in Jesus' name.